Well, we're going to continue tonight with the lesson we began this morning, reviewing our Bible class study from the last quarter. And the theme of our review is Faith is the Victory. And we talked about three things this morning. We talked about our faith in that through it and by it we courageously trust God. As Joshua courageously trusted God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and taking that great responsibility to defeat those nations according to the will of God. And we talked about Rahab, who was so courageous to be the only one there who received the spies. And she was saved because she simply obeyed the word of God to put a scarlet cord out a particular window and to remain in her house when the war began and the walls fell down flat, and to have that courage in her life. Think about it. What is it the Lord calls us to do that takes any more courage than the courage that Rahab had? I don't think there's really anything, is there? And so our faith gives us this strength and this courage to come out of the world and to come out of sin. Again, Rahab, when she left Jericho, leaving all of her friends behind, leaving loved ones behind, she came out of Jericho, the world of sin, to be with the children of God, just as Ruth did as she came out of Moab to live as a poor peasant girl. And so we today as Christians, we must go outside of the camp. We must go outside of the world of sin, and our faith gives us the strength and the courage to do that and to faithfully serve our God. And finally, we looked at the fact that as Israel was holy, so we too must be holy as Christians. And how are we to remain holy? We must prepare our minds, be sober and alert, fix our hope on salvation, and be obedient children. And as that, we have a living hope, an inheritance that does not fade away, born again by the imperishable Word of God. Three more things I would like to study with you tonight. And the first point tonight is that our faith causes us to rely on the strength that comes from God. And you know, I had a hard time picking out a lesson that we can learn from Samson. Samson, with it seems like all of his immorality. But I think we can gain this lesson, that his strength did come from God and he counted on that strength. As the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he had supernatural strength to kill wild animals with his hands, to pull down the gates of cities and carry them a long distance, even up upon a mountain, and to defeat the enemies of God in battle. He relied on and he counted on his strength from God. And that strength did not even fail him. Although Delilah deceived him and found out the secret to his strength, and his seven locks of hair were shaved off, and he was imprisoned and mocked and made fun of, even upon the last time, as he asked God for strength one more time, he counted on that strength. And we too, as Christians, our faith giving us the victory, we count and we rely upon that strength in our lives. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Certainly all of us feel weak from time to time. Certainly all of us it seems that we do not have the spiritual strength that we would like to have and that we need. And we need to learn this lesson, that through faith and by our faith, that we can count on and we can rely on, and we need not doubt the fact that God will give us the strength to overcome every hurdle in life. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. And so Paul's prayer was that they would know the strength that God gives Christians, and that they would count on that, that they would rely upon that, that they would not doubt it, that they would not question it. And brethren, we need to have that confidence in our lives. We need to be able to rely upon the strength of God so that we do not question our ability to do those things which He commands us to do. That we do not question our ability to stand strong in adversity and to overcome the things that we must overcome, but that we can face them with all confidence without any doubting in the strength that God gives us, His children. And so you well know in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we've been studying on Wednesday night, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. In the strength of the might of God, the word might indicates the superabundance of God's power to do anything He would ever want to do. For God to do the most difficult thing He would ever desire to do is nothing in tapping into the wealth, the abundance of His strength and His power. And you and I as Christians tap into that power as God gives us the strength and the power in our lives. Turn back to chapter 3. You ask how. How does this occur? And we could spend all night on this verse, but this scripture, but just to pull out a few things, verse 14. As Paul is praying, bowing his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives His name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. And that's what we all want. That's what we all need. How so, Paul? Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Faith is the victory. Because of our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in the things promised in the Word here, we have the strength of God in our spirits, in the inner man. What else does he say? Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It is impossible for sinful man to understand the love of Jesus Christ to die upon the cross. In obedience to His Father and our Father, and as He would look down upon us, sinful man, to leave heaven and come to earth, not considering equality with God to be something that is to be grasped, but to let go of it for a time, that He could come in the form of a bondservant, to know that love which surpasses mere knowledge. To know that love and to experience that love, and to have that love in return for God and for Jesus Christ, is an empowering love. So committed and so dedicated and so devoted, as Paul speaks to the Thessalonians, of loving the truth. To be so committed to the truth, to never back down, to never question, to never doubt. To be so committed to God, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of our being, spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. And it is this strength and this power where, in the inner man, that God gives to us, so that we, more than Samson, may tear down the gates and carry them afar, even upon mountains, that which is impossible for mere man, but not impossible with God. And so we too have the strength and the power within the inner man that God would have us to possess, filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Brethren, this is not a lie, and this is not a fairy tale. The power of God is at work in you. And nothing is going to prevent us from doing the things God has set forth for us to do. Nothing, not one thing. Not the devil, not the world. And we have this according to faith. Faith is the victory. And because of our faith, we know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Rely on the strength that comes from God. And the result is Colossians chapter 1. Again, another passage in which the Apostle Paul is talking about this strength that comes from God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This knowledge here is not merely book smart, but it's taking what God says in His Word and applying it to our lives and growing and becoming mature. When we're doing that in our lives, when we're taking the Word of God and we're making application and we're changing our lives and we're becoming better Christians, we are pleasing to God in every respect, bearing fruit as we are at work as His children. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all power. As God did not withhold His strength from Samson, God does not withhold His strength from us today. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Whatever it is you have to work out in your life, God is going to give you the strength to do it. Being fruitful in every good work, whatever it is, it does not matter. God is going to give you the strength, all strength, as to what you need in your life, according to His glorious might. Again, the superabundance of God's power. According to the superabundance of His power to do all things. So He gives it to us as His children to do all those things which He has commanded and set forth for us to do. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously. Indeed, of the difficult things that come our way. Whether it being cast into a den of lions or crucified upon a cross, with all steadfastness and patience, with a joyful attitude. Now you talk about power and strength to whatever comes our way. Doesn't mean that we necessarily like it. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're having fun. But it means we can approach it rejoicing and glorifying God. Now that is real strength. And what else does He say? Giving thanks. Crucify me on the cross. Joyously giving thanks. Throw me to a den of lions. Joyously giving thanks. You might say, well, Alan, I don't know if I would have that much strength. If you have faith, when the time came, you would have that much strength. God does not withhold it. And what else? Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued you from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We've been transferred. We've been rescued. We've been snatched out of darkness to safety. the strength and the power of God. And we look at Samson and we say, God was so great. You want to know something? God's power today in your life is greater than that of Samson. Indeed, his was physical, yours is spiritual. Greater. And let me tell you something else. And I tell you, as I struggle with the exact same things you struggle with, the only reason we may ever fail for a lack of strength is because our faith has failed. That's the only reason. Faith is the victory. As long as our faith is strong, confidently trusting without doubt in God, the strength is going to be there. Don't believe me. Believe God. Rely on the strength that comes from God. Obey in the difficult things. Indeed, we need strength from God. And we need to rely on that. And having said that, obey in the difficult things. Some things that God calls us to do are difficult. Ruth chapter 1, Ruth chose to go with Naomi. That had to be an incredibly difficult thing to do. That had to be difficult to leave father, mother, brother, sister. I don't know the details of her family. It had to be difficult to leave the promise of a husband and one who would take care of her and exchange all of that for poverty, not knowing where the next meal would come, not knowing what she would have to do in order to get that meal, and not only for herself but for her mother-in-law. And yet she had the strength to turn herself into basically an impoverished homeless person who went around and was picking grain from the fields behind those who were reaping to have something to eat. And to do that so that she could be with the people of God. Was that hard to do? That had to be very, very hard to do. Think about how hard it would be for you to do that today. Judges chapter 11, Jephthah. And you remember we talked, at least in adult class, for some time about this. Made a vow to God that he would give to God, dedicate to God as a sacrifice, the first thing that came out of his house if God gave him the victory over the Ammonites. He obviously obeyed. And he is one of the examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. The great faith that it was required of Jephthah to keep his vow. And for a moment, let's not think about the vast discussion and all the arguments on the side that would say that he didn't keep his vow, but he did something else instead. And in some other way, he committed her to God or figuratively sacrifice her to God. Let's just for a minute, bear with me, take it for exactly what it says. Think about his daughter. And her father says, you know, I made this vow to God. And the daughter says, well, you made a vow to God, you got to keep your vow. Just give me 30 days to bewail my virginity and I'll be back. And you keep that vow. It was such a great act that year after year after year, the ladies would go and they would remember this great act which was done. It had to be something incredible that was done. Think about the faith of Jephthah to offer his daughter, or Abraham to offer his son. Think about the faith of one who would say, you vowed it, so here I am, do it. Think about the faith of Isaac, who allowed his father to tie him up and to put him upon the altar and to raise his hand to kill him. And he just, okay, Father. That's what God said. Go ahead. Was that hard? That was very hard to do. Think about Judges 4 and 5, Barak. Commander of the army when Deborah was judge. He wrongfully put conditions on his obedience, but yet he is one of the examples of great faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And indeed, we should not put conditions upon our obedience, either with man or with God. Because of his condition, he was not glorified for his work in the Lord, but rather another was glorified as a woman drove a tent peg into Sisera's temple. Was it a hard thing to do to lead the people of God into great victory? Yes, it was. Was it a hard thing to do to let someone else get the credit and the glory and still stay faithful to the Lord and do what you had to do? Yes, it was. There are difficult things that the Lord calls us to do. But if we rely upon the strength that is from God, we will be successful in each and every one. It's difficult to obey the simple plan that God has for His people. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is a difficult thing to take the message of the cross to the world. It's hard to do. The majority of those who are in the world believe that it's foolishness, that you are foolish for believing it, and that you are a fool for even wanting to talk about it. That's a hard thing to do. But if we rely upon the strength that comes from God, we will be able to do the difficult things and we will be able to carry the message to the world. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's who God is searching for. God is looking for those who believe. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, and you think about Noah for just a moment. Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. And don't you know, as he was there preaching all the years of building the ark, that he was preaching and people were just saying, "Nope, Noah, you're just so foolish and you're just so crazy. You say it's going to rain? It's never rained. None of our ancestors have ever said anything about rain. You're a crazy man." It's almost like Agrippa that told Paul, "Your much learning has driven you mad. You're crazy." But notice how this parallels so much with you and I today, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons who were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To the world, that is foolish, that is crazy as Noah saying it's going to rain. But that's the message we take to the world. Is it hard to do? It is hard to do. But if we rely upon the strength of God, we can do it. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And now Paul says, just a few chapters later, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." To worship the simple way God has given us to worship. It's foolish to many people. to take the simple plan, God's salvation of man, not to add to, not to take away from, not to do anything fancy or extravagant, but just what God says. Is it hard to do? Take it to the world? Is it hard to obey while others are ridiculing and mocking? Yes, it is. But we can do it. We rely upon the strength that is from God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Not only is it difficult to obey the simple plan of salvation, but also to fear God and God alone, and not to fear man. You know, if you could wish for anything in the world, wouldn't you want to just be able to walk through this life without any fear of what anyone's going to do to you? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, that's exactly what Jesus says to us. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I'll tell you what, I'm just like everybody else. I try to cope with these things. You know, you're afraid of what somebody's going to say. You're afraid of what somebody's going to do. Isn't it so wonderful to go through life and just not have to worry about it? If we could reprogram ourselves at all in any way, it would be fear God and fear only God. And as long as you're doing what's right, don't worry about what other people are going to do. Now, I've got to put my disclaimer in here for the young people, because if I don't, I'll hear about it when I get home. Fear is a good thing. Fear is an emotion God has given to us. And young people, you need to be afraid of being in the wrong places and doing the wrong things and being the wrong people and doing dangerous things. You need to be afraid of that. That's something God has given to us. Kaylin, can I tell a little story? Okay, thank you. Now that I said it in front of everybody, I guess I have to. We're having our Bible class with Kaylin. Andrea and I went over. He's going to be going with us. And we were talking about words. We were talking about repentance. You don't use it too much. We talked about baptism. You don't use that in everyday language too much. She said, yeah, except when I tell my friends I just was baptized. I said, that's good, Kaylin. That's good. But you know, probably some people heard that and they were sort of looking sideways, maybe snickering a little bit or something such as that. Yeah, I see her. Yeah, she's going, yeah. Pretty smart, aren't I? But isn't it nice not to have to worry about that? So what? So what? We just do the right thing. We just obey God. Believe what God says with all of our heart. And do it. And be busy doing it. And not worry about anybody else. Isn't that great? Isn't that nice? Faith is the victory. Rely on the strength that comes from God to do the difficult things. Not to be shut down by the devil. He's prowling around and roaring sometimes to scare us. Don't worry about him. Just go and do what you're supposed to do. Rely on the strength from God. And one more. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've told you, I think I said it Wednesday night, I've been thinking about death quite a bit again. Not that I'm worried about it or afraid of it. I don't think I'm going to die. But I think about when the time comes to die. What's going to be my attitude? And I want to have the right attitude. And having the right attitude about when I'm passing, having that right attitude depends on what I'm doing right now. That's what it depends upon. And I want to approach that time of death without any fear, without being afraid. I want to approach that time of death, and I want to be confident that Beth is going to be all right, and the girls are going to be all right, and if I've got their husbands and grandkids and all that, everybody's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. And I want to gladly pass over. To do that, I have to rely on the strength that comes from God and obey Him in the difficult things. And do you think this passing over into the next life is going to be one of those difficult things? You think it's going to be hard? You think it's going to be difficult? Well, it's not like we can stop it, or it's not like we can make it go. But to do so with the right attitude, eager to meet the Lord, is that one of the difficult things that we do? I sort of think so. In my business, I use that in a jokingly as a phrase, jokingly phrase, in my business, unfortunately, you see people experience death. And you see some that don't experience it very well. And you see some that experience it really well. And I want to be one of those that experience it really well. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Can you say that tonight? See, that's what I want to say. I want to make sure that right now I can make that statement and just not make it trying to convince myself that's true, but believe it with all my heart that that is true. That there is a crown, and it's laid up, and it's waiting for me. Because I've been faithful to the very end. And whenever that comes, I believe in God so much. I know that everything that's left behind and all my loved ones are going to be fine, and God's going to take care of them, and I can enter into my eternal abode. I think that can be hard to do. Because it takes a lifetime of preparation. And either we're ready right now to do that, or we're not. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. If it happened tonight, I want to be glad that it happened. The third point tonight, relying on the strength of God, obeying in the difficult things, fight God's way, not man's way. Can you see how the three this morning tied together and the three tonight tie together? Fight God's way. And I remember the story of Gideon. I tried to think of the lesson we could get out of Gideon. As he had 32,000 men to go to battle, and God reduced that to 300 and divided that into three companies to attack the Midianites in the middle of the night. And those 300 blew trumpets and broke pitchers where the torches were inside, and the pitchers were the torches lit with fire shined all about. Sounds like one of those stupid things, like circling the walls of Jericho. One time on 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. It's pretty stupid, wasn't it? But that was God's way to fight the battle. And God has a particular way He wants the battle fought today. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe there are preachers in pulpits today, in churches where we would go to church, that are fighting the battle the wrong way. Let's take a moment and look at what God says about fighting His way. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I tried to pick out just a few things to remind us of a number of principles, but I believe it all begins with this in verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Sanctify Christ in your heart. Make Christ to be the special person that He is, Lord God. Make Him in your heart to be that person, so that you are devoted to serving Him as Lord. In so doing, we're ready. Studied our Bibles, the Word of God. None of us are perfect. We don't have all of the answers, but we're ready. And we go about speaking to others with gentleness and reverence. I told a story to some of the, I think it was over in the college class here. When I started out as a preacher, I started imitating other preachers. And that was sort of like give them a right cross between the eyes and just kill them. And I was ashamed of myself, imitating what I'd seen. And the Bible says that we're to go about speaking with others with gentleness and reverence. Not hitting them between the eyes. Someone may say, you can go to the Bible and you can see examples of that, yes, with those who are inspired with the Holy Spirit, directed by God on particular occasions. You can. But nobody here has the Holy Spirit directed by God to go and do that. This is God's direction for us today. And isn't that nice? God does not want us to be bullies. He wants us to be nice people. To live in a way that others want to live. Not beat up on people. Having the right attitude while we're fighting our battles. Chapter 4, verse 16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but to glorify God. And when we take the message to other people, as I know that you are, even in the life that you live, you're going to suffer because of that. But don't be ashamed of it. Glorify God. That's our attitude. Also, in fighting this fight, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we must have gracious speech. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Before I started preaching, I hadn't even done any appointment preaching. There was a guy who was getting ready for a debate, religious debate, and he was going to use me as a guinea pig. And I had no idea about what he was going to say or any rebuttal to anything he was going to say. And, you know, he just beat up on me really good, really fast. That's probably the time I decided that debates were the worst thing in the world. Because a few I've been to, and I'm not speaking for all of them, there's not much of the Spirit of Christ there. I always figured that if I had to have somebody sign something to promise to be fair about things and not to act Christian-like, that I didn't need to be talking to them anyway. Especially if they wanted me to sign one. If they can't believe me, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to be nice and I'm going to do just like grace, gracious speech, seasoned with salt. If you can't believe I'm going to do that, I'm not going to sign a piece of paper. That's not going to change anything. So again, isn't it great? God wants us to take the message to the world, but He wants us to be nice about it. And I think that's a good thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us to speak the truth. Unfortunately, I've heard that scripture quoted by some and other to make the point that as long as they're speaking the truth, they can do it any old way they want to. That's not the way it goes. Because it says, speak the truth in love. Fight the good fight. How does God want us to fight it? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you know, we all, brethren, we all progress in our maturity as Christians. And I've really been working on this one lately. Certainly I've worked on it from time to time, but I'm working on it again. Now look what it says. Romans 12, 18. Never take your own revenge. Now, that is a command from God. Now, young people, let me put it like this. Somebody does something to you at school, don't take matters in your own hands to get them back. That's wrong. Don't take your own revenge. Verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we fight our battles? With goodness. When someone's bad to us, we're good to them. When someone is mean and ugly and evil, we are good to them. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to do. Is that hard for you to do? And that's why I've been working on it so hard. That when someone does something to me that's bad, mean, evil, nasty, that's easy to see. Just get on the interstate here and head down the interstate. You're going to see it. Somebody's going to do something to you and they might be expressing their upsetness in hand signals of some sort or another. You can see it. And what's our reaction? And the Apostle Paul says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. If we have a chance of reaching people, Paul says it's by doing good. Not by playing their same games. Not by doing the same things that they do. Not by trying to get them back. Not by trying to avenge ourselves in any way. But it's by being nice to other people. And that heaping coals of fire upon their head means that if they've got any kind of heart that could be reached, they're going to feel sorry about what they did. I'll tell you a story that I've never told before. Beth, you don't know it. Studying with a man one time, and he was a preacher with another religion, and I was just getting started. So he came over to the church building. And he was nice as could be. Started out with a prayer. He says, you want to kneel? I didn't care. Either way, it's fine. And I got this business of I was going to flatten him. And at the end of that Bible study, guess who felt bad? Me. It was the wrong way. Now, he was not right in the doctrines that he was espousing, but I was not right in the way that I was approaching it with him. Excuse me, I don't know if I reached him. But I do know that I learned a lesson myself that day. If we have a chance of reaching other people, it's with being nice. And don't you want to be nice to other people? Of course you do. And I do. And the greatest thing about this is the way we reach other people. This is the way we fight. We fight by being nice. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? We fight by being nice. So we can be the people that we want to be and that God wants us to be. We can be nice. Hungry? I'll give you something to eat. Thirsty? I'll give you something to drink. So that you can do it all over again. Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been studying this in our Bible class. And verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And we're going through that Wednesday night in our class, and you remember what those things are: truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, word of God, and then prayer. How do we fight? We put on these things, good things, wholesome things. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Have you thought about that verse before? Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? You want to fight the battles that you have to fight interpersonally in your life, or the battles of God? You want to fight those? Let me tell you how you fight them. Be zealous for good works. Be on fire. Be excited. Be busy and energized. That's how you do it. Notice what it says in the next two verses. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Be zealous for good works. Be busy working for the Lord. That's how you fight the fight. One more scripture. Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 4 as I was trying to pick out a few scriptures to represent how we fight this fight. I had to put this one in there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So don't you see where I messed up? Studying with that preacher that day. Be anxious for nothing. Undue worldly care. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard. It's like a guard standing at a door. Will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. Be gentle, pray, fighting the battle. Verse 8, keep your mind on the right things. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Rejoice, be gentle, be prayerful, have your mind on the right things. Fighting these battles turn out to be pretty easy, isn't it? Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Fight the fight the way God wants us to fight it. Faith is a victory. Courageously trust God. Don't doubt. Don't question. Believe from the Word of God. Come out of the world of sin. Be holy in all your behavior, or all your conduct. Rely on the strength that is from God. Obey in the difficult things and fight God's way, not man's way. Faith is the victory. And indeed, you will continue to be victorious in your fight in this life. And more than anything, when you pass over from this life to the next, when you open your eyes in eternity, you will do so rejoicing as you have been victorious in the greatest fight of all, and that is the fight against sin and the devil. And you have won because of your faith in God. Fight the fight. We're going to extend the gospel invitation, 285. Zion's call. Zion's call still comes forth. Still coming forth tonight. If you're not a Christian, if you're not faithful to the Lord, you can begin your fight. You can begin fighting God's way. You can fight against sin and the things that perplex you in this life, and you can win that battle. You can win it tonight. I'm not talking on down the road. I'm talking about tonight. You can win it God's way. Doing God's things God's way. You can be victorious tonight over sin and death. Consider obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believing in God and Jesus, the Word. Repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, being baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away. You'll be added to the church. You'll resurrect, be raised up together with Jesus Christ. You will be victorious tonight. If we can help you at all, why don't you come to the front as we stand and sing.